I shall know him. Certainly, if we're going to know him then, we need to know him now. We're just beginning to know him. We'll know him more perfectly when we can meet him face to face. This morning we had, in our Sunday school lesson, people making bad choices because they were facing a dry time, a famine. And I'd like to kind of continue with some of those thoughts from the book of Exodus, chapter 15. You think of Exodus chapter 15, you think of a song of victory, rejoicing. They've crossed the Red Sea, and Miriam is leading them in the victory song. But that's not all of the chapter. There's more there. And we're going to look at the last part of the chapter, starting in verse 19. And here now she is concluding, Miriam is concluding that victory song. It says, "For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, 'Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea.'" Time of rejoicing, a time of dancing, great victories won. And verse 22, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went on into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah." Remember, Naomi also said her name should be Marah because of the bitter things that she had experienced in life. 24, "The people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' For he cried unto the Lord, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, 'If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon Egypt, on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.' And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters." You know, we wish we could say that the Christian life was always and forever a place where we feel refreshed and plenty of water, and we feel fruitful and productive and feel good about our Christian life. And that we would never enter into the desert. That it could just be a time of rejoicing and dancing and joy like the children of Israel experienced after they were rescued there and after they came through the Red Sea. But sometimes our Christian life may seem even more like a desert and a dry place than and a long wilderness journey. And that's what the children of Israel faced as they continued on there. And the Lord proved them and tested them and tried them through that long journey through the wilderness. God does give us tremendous blessings. And everyone who has ever been born again has experienced what Miriam and the children of Israel were singing about. We have all experienced deliverance. We have all experienced the joy of redemption and knowing that our sins are forgiven, and that if we go to bed and we die tonight, that we are ready to die. And we rejoice in the freedom from guilt and sin and condemnation and the peace that we have found in the Lord. But that's only the beginning of the journey. That's only the beginning. But it's important. If we have not experienced that, we have nothing to look back to. We have nothing to point to and say, yes, I know it was real. And all we see is that dry old wilderness stretching before us. And so sometimes we come to the place where we feel like we have little to offer, little to give, little joy. You know, in coming to church this morning, how did you feel? Were you looking forward to it? Were you looking forward to being lifted up and refreshed again? Or was it kind of draggy just to get ready to come to church and, you know, another day? What about our desire to serve the Lord? Are we looking for opportunities? Do we enjoy those opportunities when they come? Do we seize them? Do we find ourselves sometimes doubting like Thomas and wondering, especially when we are suffering like Job maybe, things that come into our life that are unpleasant and difficult? Or maybe we just simply become like Martha, where we are busy and distracted, and our focus is on other things besides on the good things of God. And we long again to feel close to God, like the psalmist who says, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. So how do we handle our spiritual dry spells and dry places? We have to admit it. We all find those places. It's part of the wilderness journey. It isn't always a mountaintop experience. It isn't always a pleasant, well-watered and fruitful place. Sometimes it's a wilderness. And so just as the Israelites began wandering in the wilderness on their way to the promised land, you know, they went through a dry time. We can learn, I think, some things from them as they experienced some of the difficulties that came very shortly after they left the shores of the Red Sea, where Pharaoh's armies had been drowned and where great victory was won. Just 3 days later, they began to suffer want. And just 3 days later, they were out of water. And they had little ones. They had animals. They had no place to look for water. And so finally they came to this place called Marah. And there they found water, but the water was bitter. I suppose the Israelites thought that they were just going to sing and dance their way all the way to the promised land. But it didn't happen that way. They were wrong. And so now here they were in the heat of the desert without water, and the water that they did finally find was bitter. They began to experience hardship. The thrill of following God was swallowed up by the dry desert of daily survival. There in verse 25, it says, there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. God also tests us and proves us. And the tests come not when things are going well, usually. There is also that test of fullness of bread. You know, what are we going to do? Are we going to forget God in those good times? We don't need God anymore. There's always that possibility. But generally, God tests us in the dry times. And we see what happened there to Elimelech and his family in the dry time. They made decisions and choices that took them into the land of Moab, a land of idolatry. And there, basically, he lost his family. Sometimes the time of trial is not the time to be making major decisions. we may make wrong decisions if we do. It's like I've often said, when you're in a storm, it's not a good time to jump out of the boat. And that's true also in our dry times spiritually. oftentimes, our hardest trials do come soon after our greatest victories. And I'm not sure what all the reasons are for that. I think that Satan, of course, doesn't like for us to be rejoicing in our Christian life. And so he will throw stumbling blocks in our way to trip us up. But God also knows that we need the trials. And it's a time of testing to qualify us to enter heaven. The book of Hebrews says that they could not enter in. So many of them, their carcasses fell in the wilderness. And they could not enter in because of unbelief. And unbelief translates into disobedience. Lack of faith translates into lack of obedience in walking with God. When do we need faith? Isn't it when we can't see? When things are going rough and the way is difficult? And we feel like saying, well, I just as well give up because I can't do it anyway. That's exactly where Satan wants us. And that's when our faith needs to be the strongest to carry us through those times. And we can see the other shore by the eyes of faith, not with our natural eyes or feel it with our natural feelings. All right, so some things that we can do when we find ourselves in a dry place. First of all, don't forget what God did for you in the past. And it's not that we live in the past, but we have to come back to that place where we can say, I know it was true. I know it was real. If we can't, then we better find an experience or a place where it is real. And that only comes by acknowledgement, confession, repentance of sin, and turning to God for restoration. And we know it was real. We know that the peace that he gave us was real. And so we can turn back to that, and we can gain courage to go on, because we know that God does care. He did answer our prayers. He did. And he still will and will continue. So don't forget what God has done for you in the past. The second thing when we get to a dry place in life is not to magnify our present problems. Now, the Bible says that the water at Meribah was bitter. And of course, it was water, but it wasn't good water. And they began to just focus on that. And here is, here's this bad water, and we're thirsty, and we're dying, and our animals and our children. And they were focusing on the problem before them instead of looking to God for a solution. They began to look for someone to blame. And isn't that often the way it works in our own experience when we're in a dry spell? Rather than looking to God for solutions and going to God and committing it to him, we start looking around for someone to blame. It's because of him, because of her, because of what they did, what they said. And, I'm just ready to give up. I can't go on any longer. We began to look for someone to blame, just like the children of Israel did there when they began to blame Moses there. In verse 24, the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" The next point is, don't overlook God's solutions. God does have an answer. God has something for us, even in the dry times. He wants to give us good things. And so the Lord did provide a miraculous cure. When Moses cast that tree into the water became sweet. And I believe here the It was probably the first real test. Now, they had tests before they crossed the Red Sea, too, when the armies of Pharaoh were coming on them, and they were hemmed in by the mountains and the sea. But that was different. This was now after they had experienced the deliverance from Pharaoh. And here was their first test, their test of faith. You know, is God really going to be able to care for us? Is he going to be able to meet our need and to see us through this desert experience? This also introduced them to some solutions if they would heed God's statute and ordinance. The thing that was in focus there in verse 25. He cast this tree into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance. There he proved them. And this tree is a type of the cross of Jesus. And it is, the cross of Jesus has tremendous meaning in many ways. And to the Christian, to the believer, it is a statute and an ordinance that does not change. It's always there. And when life seems dry and life seems bitter and it seems as though we just can't get in touch with God, we go back to the cross. We go back there and we take another look at Calvary. And we again reflect on what the Lord has done for us. How much love was represented there on the cross. He did it for us. And those bitter, dry times of life can become sweet again as we go back and we observe that statute, that ordinance, that truth that God has established through his cross. Even in dry times, we can pray. You know, Moses cried out to the Lord there. In dry times, we need to obey. You know, if you listen carefully, there in verse 26, he says, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee." And so he's going to heal them, if you will do. And so even when we seem out of touch with God, that is, again, an expression of faith when we obey. Remember, they could not enter in because of unbelief or disobedience. And so when we find ourselves in a spiritual dry time, it is not a time to give in to temptation and to make foolish decisions and do foolish things that will only dig our hole deeper and make us feel more defeated, things that we'll later regret. And we can also learn to rely on God's goodness. He says, "I will heal thee." Another thing that we can do when things are dry is don't give up too soon. You know, there in the last verse that we read, they came to Elim, where the 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Now, this was an oasis in the desert. It was not a place of bitter waters, but there were 12 wells of water, lots of water, 70 palm trees, a place of rest and a place of beauty. And so also the Lord has those for us. Remember that the Israelites soon left this bitter place and moved on to a better place called Elim, a refreshing place to rest and to drink. And you know, Elim was only a day's journey from Merah, only a day's journey by foot. The people felt discouraged and bitter, but God's remedy, God's solution, God's cure was only one day away. They just didn't know it yet, but they found it out later. And they were able to enjoy it. And so often it is, I think, in our Christian life, when it seems like things are about as low as they can get. You know, deliverance is only a day away. You know, God has those pleasant places for us, too. And so when you feel like you're in a dry place, a dry spell in your Christian life, and you wonder if it's worth it all, you can still find strength in Jesus. Jesus says, to those that thirst, come unto me and drink. I'm going to conclude here with just a reading of a psalm, Psalm 63. First 8 verses. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. I trust that can be our experience in good times and bad, and that we can truly be fruitful and faithful in the work of the Lord and in his kingdom. Shall we kneel for prayer?